Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dude, why are you wearing a suit? You got an interview? Are you a student here?
I am.
What are you studying?
Material science.
I don't know what that means. Could you explain it to me?
It's the study of creating materials. And I guess an example would be like concrete, all the additives that go into it, and how to give it the properties you want.
Okay. Do you think that you can create something out of nothing?
What do you mean by nothing? Do you mean material
nothing?
Well,
you use the word create. So let's say in my hand is nothing, which is nothing.
Okay.
Can something come out of that?
In a sense, we can take energy and create things from energy.
But energy is something.
Energy is something. So that would be your definition of nothing would be absolutely nothing? Probably not. We always take what's there.
Okay. Do you believe that we evolved or were created?
I would say evolved.
So nothing became everything?
I can't say.
Where do you suppose everything came from?
I have no idea. I don't really dwell on it.
Would it be fair to say that nothing had to come from something?
I don't know.
Because nothing can come from nothing.
I honestly have no idea.
And okay. I'm just trying to follow your logic here. If we can't create something out of nothing, then how did something come out of nothing? Something would have had to create everything. So wouldn't it be more logical and consistent to say somebody created us?
I don't know, because you're assuming there's a creation to start with. I mean, who says that, first of all, there's a creation?
Well, we're... this is the creation, right? We are the creation?
I don't know. I mean, it could be that time is indefinite in both directions, right?
Okay. There appears to have been a start. But for there to be a start and for stuff to exist, there had to be somebody or something that didn't have a start, that always existed. Otherwise, if that thing had a start, then there had to be somebody who didn't have a start before him, and you go into an infinite regress. So there had to be something infinite for there to be something now. Fair enough?
Very likely, yes.
Okay, so have I convinced you that we were created?
Not that we were created, but that there was something that existed indefinitely.
Who do you think that might be?
I don't know.
How's about God?
Okay.
That's an okay answer? Okay. Do you think it would be reasonable to conclude that we can learn something about that God from looking at the creation? I look around, I study stuff. If he made it, it gives me a little insight into what he's like.
Sure.
Would that be fair?
Assuming he created it, yeah.
Okay.
There's probably some imprint.
Do you like it when bad guys are found guilty, because they definitely committed the crime, and justice is executed on that person, that the criminals get what they have coming to them?
Do I feel bad for it?
No. Do you like the idea of justice, that criminals don't get away scot-free with murdering, raping, embezzling money, shoplifting? Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Usually.
Could I conclude that sense of justice that you and I have comes from our Creator?
I don't know. It's an intrinsic thing, because everyone has a different sense of justice.
Yeah, so. To varying degrees. But overall, we agree that murder's bad, rape is bad, lying is bad, lusting is bad. I think overall, there's something pretty consistent inside of the human heart that says there are some things that are just bad.
But then there are also people who are, you could say they're mentally insane, and it is a medical thing as well as, also a mental thing.
But they're insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, beyond the medical issues, there are people who just have very different senses of justice.
Right. But overall, we still have a sense. Our sense of justice might be perverted, contorted, wrong, misguided, but we have one.
Right.
And so does God.
Okay.
Okay. If God is just, how do you think you would fare if he judged you for the behavior that you've committed on this earth?
Say that one more time. Sorry.
If God is just, okay, he's the standard of justice. We have a standard, we're maybe a little goofed up, but his standard of justice is perfect. And let's say that he opened up the books on your life to see how good you have been, whether you've been naughty or nice. What would God see? Have you been naughty or nice? Have you been good or bad?
Both.
You've been both.
It's true.
Okay. So if you've been bad and he is just, what do you think God should do with you? Do you think God should reward you or punish you?
I have no idea. It's up to him.
What do you think? I agree. It's up to him. But if you've broken his laws, then he should give you punishment, shouldn't he?
It's true.
That would be right. That seems to be fair.
Right.
I'm guessing you don't think that you've probably broken any of God's laws. Is that a fair guess?
I don't know. I probably have.
Have you told lies before?
Yes.
Stolen anything?
No.
Ever?
I don't think so.
Even as a kid, change, pocket change, candy from a store.
Not that I can think
of. Didn't return a book, downloaded music, showed up late for work but punched in on time.
No, not that.
So you've been good in that department.
I think so.
How's about lust?
Lust? Not particularly.
Really? I mean,
there's nothing I can think of, but probably
you've
have.
You've never looked at a woman and had sexual desires or pornography and lusted?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. that would be a crime against God?
I don't know. I mean, that's... I have no idea.
Okay. Well, what do you think about a guy, for instance, who would go through a neighborhood looking into people's windows, peeping in to see them in their bedrooms? You'd probably go, kind of a pervert, right?
Yeah.
Looking at pornography, kind of the same thing. It's just not going up to somebody's window. It's looking into the window of a computer.
That's true.
Okay. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Do you know what that means? To use God's name in a bad way?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's the creator. He judges you. Right now, he drops you dead and you stand before God. Boom, you're transported right before God. Would you be innocent or guilty before God?
I have no idea.
Well, you've lied. You've lusted. You've taken his name in vain. Sounds to me like you'd be guilty.
Okay.
Doesn't it?
I guess.
I mean, if a criminal stands before a judge and he's broken the laws, he's guilty.
All right.
Okay. What do you think God would do with you?
I have no idea. I'm already dead, so he can't kill me. But
your soul.
Yeah,
the thing inside of you that makes you, you. Your body's not you. Your suit's not you.
Suppose.
The soul inside of you is what makes you, you. Your brain isn't even you. You're you.
Okay.
That thing. What do you think he's going to do with you? Would he take you to a good place or send you to a bad place?
I have no idea.
Well, you've broken his laws. You're guilty. That's pretty straightforward. It's not a fun answer, but it's a pretty obvious answer.
Mm-hmm. If you're up for it, I could go to purgatory.
If there is such a place, you must be have a Catholic background.
No.
No?
No.
Just sounds like a good idea right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Pull out the purgatory card.
Exactly.
All right. There's a heaven, there's a hell. What do you think God would do with you?
I have no idea. I honestly don't.
Well, yeah, you do.
I mean...
You've lusted. You've taken it. Okay, God gave you life.
Mm-hmm.
And your suit, nifty suit, by the way, has given you an education. Air to breathe. Every single time you wanted one, he gave it to you. And instead of thanking him, you took his name in vain and blasphemed it and said his name in a bad way.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty low. People don't do that with Adolf Hitler's name. I never hear anybody say, oh, Hitler. But when we say God's name in disgust, imagine his displeasure after he's provided you everything that is good and kind. Not to mention the lusting. Not to mention when you were naughty as a child. Or when you weren't grateful for what he's provided for you, if you've ever complained and carped about what you don't have. You'd be guilty if God is just. And he's good, and he punishes lawbreakers, a just judge would give you what you deserve, and that would be punishment. All right. When you brought up purgatory, where'd you hear about that? What was that all about?
It's just sort of a joke we pass around.
Okay. But that's a Catholic concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have a Catholic background.
No.
Do you have a Christian background?
For a while.
What was it?
Middle school. Elementary school. It was a Christian school.
Was it? Okay. So what did they tell you that God did so you don't have to go to hell?
All you had to do was believe.
In what?
Usually what they would say.
Right. In what?
They'd always point to Jesus is the Christ and Savior.
Because he died to take the punishment you deserve.
Yeah.
God's wrath is aimed at you, But Jesus stepped in the middle, took the punishment you deserve, because you've got a fine. Your court case is one you can't pay the debt, but Jesus paid it for you. The wrath of the Father was put on the Son. The good man died for the bad man, that you might be seen as good in the Father's eyes, so that you can go to heaven, so your court case can be dismissed, so that you can be forgiven, because God is kind, and he's merciful, but he's also just, and he's got to give people what they deserve.
Okay.
You deserve hell, but he gave that to Jesus in your place so that you could be forgiven.
Suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Why wouldn't you trust that?
I don't know. Just don't have any reason to.
Jesus died for you, a sinner. Looking down through the corridor of time, he knew that you would lie and lust and take his name in vain. He knows you better than you, right? So every evil intention of your heart, every time you failed to be grateful, he knew it. But he died for you anyway. Can you think of a kinder act than that?
I'm hungry right now, so if someone gave me food, I would probably be pretty happy.
Really?
I don't know.
Better than dying for you so you don't have to receive the wrath of the Father.
That's possible.
So you'd rather have a sandwich than salvation?
Right now, yes.
All right. All right. Mate, thanks for the chat. Appreciate it. All right, goodbye. I hope your interview goes well.
All right.
Goodbye. All right, man. We'll continue on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem. Because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought. It's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool. It's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove, that the universe stays orderly, and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense if a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org. Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot-button issues, you're going to get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens: critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault and, I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published.
54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. The King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here's my question. I'm asking people one question today. Ready? If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
I guess it would be, why are we here?
Okay. You don't know?
Not really. I mean, there are answers. Every religion has an answer. People, even non-religious people, think they have answers. But when it comes down to it, we don't really know what we're doing here or why we're here.
Are you a postmodern? Do you know what that means?
Sort of. Not.
Would basically say God exists. Western mindset.
Yeah.
The Bible reveals who he is.
Mm-hmm.
The modern mindset would say, this whole God thing, I think humans have the answers. I think that humanity has the answer, and so it's the age of reason, empiricism. If we can verify it, test, make sure that it's actually there, then it's there. Otherwise, it's not there. That kind of ended, let's call it 1989, with the fall of the Berlin Wall, when we recognized, you know, man sure doesn't seem to have the answer. The 20th century was the bloodiest century of all time. We seem to have made a hash of it. And the conclusion is, nobody has the corner on truth. Your truth is your truth, and it's valid. My truth, even though it's completely different than your truth, is equally valid. We believe something completely different than one another, but we're both correct. That would be a postmodern. Would that describe you?
Yeah, I would say so. I always sort of think no human can know an absolute truth. Like, so well, I guess.
You just made one.
How so?
You just made an absolute truth statement. No human can. I believe you are an evangelical born-again Christian. Am I wrong?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. Then that's going contrary. So somebody is wrong. Somebody can be wrong. They can believe it, but they're just wrong.
Well,
okay, so let me give this a go. I believe that Jesus is God. Am I wrong?
I would say no.
So you believe Jesus is God?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
So you're a Christian?
Yeah.
I'm a little confused. You said before we don't know what our purpose is. Isn't the purpose of a Christian to glorify God and enjoy him forever?
I'm saying just life in general. If you were to look at it without the benefit of religion, like, how would you interpret why we're here?
What do you think your purpose is?
Right now, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where my life is going exactly.
Not what job. Overall, you exist to blank.
Well, I think in general, everyone exists to sort of make the world a better place. I mean, and like I said, I don't know if that's really why we're here, but I would like to believe that's why we're here.
That sounds more like the theology of Coca-Cola than it does Christianity. Make the world a better place so that everybody can get along. Christianity would say it's to glorify God, to give him what he deserves because he's our owner and he's our creator and he's our savior.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you become a Christian?
I was born into it, I guess, so.
Okay, here. So, do you believe it, really?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, how does a fellow like me get to heaven if I'm not a Christian?
I don't think you have to be a Christian to get to heaven. I think if you do what you can to help others, I mean, not everyone's going to think what's right is the same thing that's right, but I guess on a religious stance, what's right. If you do that, I think that's what it really takes to get to heaven.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would like to. I try to be a good person.
Have you told lies in your life?
Yes, I have.
Stolen anything?
Nothing major I can think of.
It doesn't matter the object. It doesn't matter the value. The idea is what's behind it.
The act of stealing?
The act of stealing. Not what you steal. That's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Not impressive to God. If it's $1 million or $1, but you've stolen. Mm-hmm. Have you lusted, had sexual thoughts in your mind about women that...
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Okay. Because that's another commandment, you know. Mm-hmm. If you lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I try not to.
But you have.
I suppose so, yeah.
So that doesn't sound like a good person to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, that's the... Like, a big point of human life is the fact that we aren't perfect, that we try... I think the point of our life is to strive to be a good person. Not
okay.
And we're
imagine,
not always going to
imagine
be
a criminal standing before a judge who's broken the laws, mm-hmm. and he says, but judge, I've tried. The judge says, I don't care. I'm not interested in your trying. It has nothing to do with your crimes. You've broken the laws. I must uphold justice. I must give you what you deserve, what you've earned for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's justice, and our good deeds have no bearing on our case. So if you've broken God's laws, like everybody else, that would make you a bad person like everybody else, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you looked at strictly like that, then yeah. But really, it's not a black and white issue. You can't say that, you've broken it and then you're a bad person, or you haven't broken it and you're a good person.
It's real easy. If a fellow, let's say that guy underneath the tree raped a woman, would you consider him to be a good person or bad person?
I would say bad.
Okay. You, one act, you're a criminal. The end. It's black and white. You lie, you're a liar. You steal, you're a thief.
But I think that's the difference between the world we live in and really the world of religion.
Wait, I want to reason with you, okay? You and I see a rapist and we go, that's really nasty. Because this is our perspective. We're about this tall in our morality, and we look down and things get more and more scummy in our eyes. But God's perspective is way above ours. He's way holier. So he looks down and he sees lying and stealing as huge atrocities because of his perspective. You and I get turned off when something gets really disgusting to us. God gets turned off at things that we don't think are very bad because he has a higher perspective than we do. So lying to him is an abomination. Taking his name in vain is an atrocious thing to do because his perspective is so high and so holy. That's what the Bible teaches, that all sin and we all fall short of his standard. And what we've earned for ourselves is wrath. That's what we've earned. And while we think we're good compared to, well, pretty much everybody else on this campus, compared to God's standard, and that's the only standard that matters, we're bad people. So God must give people what they deserve because he's just. But there's something inside of you that is, I can see it in your eyes, you're going, that means everybody's going to hell. It means everybody should go to hell. That's what we've all deserved. There's nobody on this campus or anywhere in the world who hasn't lied or lusted or was snotty to their parents, took his name in vain. That's what we've all earned for ourselves. But there's also something inside of you that says, that is depressing. And is that all there is to God, just justice? Nope, he has other attributes. He's kind and he's merciful. But here's the dilemma. He's got to give you what you deserve. Because if he turns a blind eye to justice, he would no longer be just and holy. And he can't do that. But he's also a loving God, and he loves you. Despite your crimes against him, he loves you. So here's the tension. God's got to give you wrath, but he wants to give you mercy. To satisfy both, so he can show you mercy, wrath had to be poured out on somebody. You or somebody else. Who did God pour his wrath out on so that you could be forgiven and he could show mercy to you? Who did God pour his wrath out on so you don't have to go to hell?
But see, the thing is, I may like logic, but I don't think it works that way. I mean, whenever we think of God, we sort of anthropomorphize God. We think, oh, God is like a human but perfect. But that's not true. We can't say that. We can't apply these human ideas to God.
That's justice. His standard must be much higher. Okay, here's the question, though, all right? Who, according to the Bible, took the punishment of God on your behalf so that God's wrath and his justice could be satisfied, so that you could be forgiven and go to heaven because he loves you?
Well, Jesus, by dying on the cross.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Now, that either happened or it didn't. That's either the way or it's not. And there's either forgiveness available to you or there's not. As a Christian, that's our hope. That's why we love our God. He died for us so that we could be reconciled to him, so that he could satisfy justice because he's just, but so he could show mercy. He died in your place. And Jesus did become a man because we needed a representative, but he's also God, so that the sacrifice would be acceptable to the Father. Christianity offers you complete forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. It's either true or it's not, that presentation. All I can do is ask you today to think about that. It's so important, because if you died, and what I'm saying to you is truth, God will thrash you. Every secret sin that you've done in darkness will be brought into the light. He's not going to let anybody get away with anything. His justice is that thorough because he's that good. But he offers you mercy. This is a good God we're talking about, somebody who loves you so much, he died for you so that you could be forgiven. It's an act of kindness, and if you've never understood it in that terms, I beg you to think about it that way. This isn't a threat, turn or burn. That'll happen to you if you don't turn. You will burn. But that's not what God is. He doesn't want to threaten you to follow him. He loves you, and he said, I died for you. Come, follow me. It's an act of kindness. You should repent and trust Jesus, not to escape hell, but because he's been so kind to rescue you from hell. The Bible says you must repent and put your trust in Jesus and him alone, and he will adopt you then into his family, and he'll grant you everlasting life so that he can get praise for all of eternity for being such a good God. The question is, why are you here? To glorify God. And here's how he wants to do that. He wants to save you so that he can point to you for forever and go, if anybody wants to know how good I am, I saved that rat from Georgia Tech. I took a worm and I made him my son. And I've granted him everlasting life. That's how good I am. That's your purpose in life. It's to get saved so that God can be glorified in your life. Would you ponder that today?
Sure.
Something to think about as you walk around. All right, man. Hey, Hi. Thanks for the chat.
No problem.
Goodbye. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.